Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Mully and Hall, mornings live at 5 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago's sports station.
Balls intercepted. That's Okereke. Okereke is going to take this one to the house.
Foles taking a deep shot, looking for Chark. It's juggled, and then off the deflection, the Colts say they have it. And it is an interception.
Trying to make a little too much out of nothing that's available on the field. You can see this ball underthrown. This is the second ball that Nick Foles has thrown deep that's been thrown underthrown.
It's a difficult time to talk about a lot of things.
Mully and Hall, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Bears make a big move, bring in some quarterback help.
Yeah, and those were Nick Foles' highlights because yeah. Nick Foles has highlights. He does have a history
those
of making
highlights.
Big plays and big moments and winning big games. And the biggest of them all, he was the MVP in the Super Bowl for the Eagles and stepped in for Carson Wentz. And that is part of his, you know, NFL pedigree and always will be part of his legacy. So he comes to Chicago. And I would just advise people, you know, you can look at it however you want to, but whatever you hear, whenever we get to hear from them, from Ryan Pace or Matt Nagy, I think that we have now been conditioned or should have learned. Don't pay a lot of attention to it. If they say that Mitch is our starter, I doubt that they're going to say Nick Foles is starting from day one. What they say is a lot less relevant than what happens and what they do. And we're not going to know what that will be until they actually get on the field. I think it will be an open competition. I think they're paying a guy, they're guaranteeing him $21 million in what amounts to a one-year contract. It's hard for me to envision just being around pro sports, guaranteeing that much money to somebody without giving him every chance to succeed as a starter.
And I think it's also, David, I mean, you've got to sort of amplify that. They also are allowing him to get out of that deal in each of the 3 years left on that contract. Mm-hmm. So in other words, they're giving him the right to control his own fate. And if they don't treat him right, if he doesn't feel like his career is advancing, he can leave and go elsewhere and cut his own deal and all the rest of it. So it's
imagine that.
It's interesting.
Imagine that. Imagine Nick Foles leads the Bears into the playoffs. They don't have to get to the Super Bowl, but he is a big reason why they are 10-6 and they win two playoff games in the expanded format. And then he walks. And then he opts out of his contract because isn't that the way that it's structured? The way that we have been led to believe.
What it sounds like.
He has the option.
Yeah, it's his option.
After the season that he's guaranteed, the money that he's guaranteed to walk away.
So you kind of got to keep him happy, right? You kind of got to make sure that he's on board with what you want to do. You said something there that I got to ask you about. You said not to listen to what they say.
Yeah.
It's not – basically, you're questioning their credibility, aren't
you? It's a difficult time to talk about a lot of things.
No, I'm actually probably complimenting their ability to mislead.
So they're lying.
If you want to call it lying, I think
– it's a really excellent ability to mislead.
I think that to obfuscate is what executives and coaches do in professional sports. And I think the Bears have sort of mastered that.
Does Theo?
He's much better at it because he makes you believe in what else he says. and everything else that he is just a better communicator. But he certainly does, without question. He had us believing the entire year that they were really, you know, that had a pretty productive working relationship with Joe Maddon. And he's had other examples.
You think Craig Kimbrell could still pitch in the majors.
Well, yeah, that's true. But it's been a while since the Kimbrell. I think there's
a difference between, you know, trying to remain optimistic about something as opposed to flat out obfuscating and lying about it. I think there's a certain lack of credibility sometimes with what, and it's more Pace than Nagy, because I think Nagy comes across, he's got this sort of Jimmy Stewart quality, you know, this kind of upbeat, happy kind of, you know, aw shucks thing going that helps him to communicate a little bit better than maybe, and maybe he's just a better communicator because he does it more as a coach than Ryan Pace.
But I don't hold it against Ryan Pace that he said on December 31st, Mitch is our starter, because I think that, again, given the circumstances at the time, if I'm Ryan Pace and I'm the general manager of a team with a quarterback that, you know, is coming off a terrible season and you're looking ahead, what else is he going to say? I think it's our responsibility to interpret it.
Right.
And if you want to buy into that and think, okay, you know, well, yeah, Mitch is our starter. He said Mitch is going to be the starter, so he's going to be the starter. No. People sometimes say things publicly that they feel like they have to say, and they're not as skilled of an orator as Theo Epstein or as other people to say things in a way that make you like, oh, they dazzle you with their vocabulary or with their manner or with their presentation.
But I understand that, but why say Mitch is accurate? Mitch, you know, can process.
He's athletic.
Okay, he is athletic, but I don't understand. What I don't understand, again, you know, I thought that Matt Nagy talked about what Mitch needs to improve upon, and I thought that Ryan Pace just flat out said things that you just wondered if you were you sometimes do, David. You wonder, am I insane? Am I seeing what I'm seeing? How is it that they can see something that is not there to me?
Well, I think that's a really good observation, because you wonder why. You wonder what they're watching, but I also think it goes back to, and maybe it's not this simple, and maybe I'm overanalyzing this, but I just think it goes back to, you have a job to do if you're a general manager, and there are certain things that you value more than others, and it's tape evaluation, and it's, you know, contract language, understanding that, and working the cap, and hiring the right coaches, and you know what is at the bottom of the list? Communicating publicly. And I think that sometimes when you hear Ryan Pace, when he talks about Mitch Trubisky being accurate, I just think he misspeaks. I just think he doesn't put a lot of thought into it, because he doesn't yet realize, and shame on him for not, he works in Chicago, but he doesn't grasp how perception shapes his reality. And he says things that can't possibly be true because he doesn't put a lot of thought into them. So the first thing off the top of his head, he says Mitch Trubisky's accurate. Well, anybody that's watched him knows that's got to be just a bunch of malarkey.
But he said that about him when he came out of college. So it's almost like he defaults to his college scouting report sometimes. And it's just been proven untrue. So I don't understand why he would want to communicate that way. And I get it. He's very rarely available, and he doesn't like to talk. But if indeed this is the end of the line, if something goes awry and they lose him, I would imagine there'll be general managers around the NFL weeping. Because it seems as if when that guy comes, everybody knows he's going to pay. Everybody knows that he's going to give them. You're not going to get on the bad end of a deal with Ryan Pace. You're usually going to get the better of him, because it's almost, he doesn't seem to understand the value of draft picks. He doesn't seem to understand he seems, and I've never seen this with a draft guy before. I've seen scouts fall in love with players. I've never seen general managers that will go and pursue a singular option. We must get this guy. And if you do that once, that's probably okay if the guy turns out to be whomever, right? But I don't think I've seen it repeatedly done, where you continuously trade for one guy you have to have, even in the fourth round, and then that doesn't work out for you. I just think it's a peculiar characteristic, and I'm not sure it's one that is a successful one in the NFL.
Well, this is the offseason of trying to atone for those things, the offseason of atonement, if you will, because you look at the tight end. That's a cover. That's trying to cover your mistake over Shaheen. Robert Quinn
Or Burton. Either one. Yeah, I mean, Burton, they gave a record signing.
If you want to stay with the draft analogy, you're talking about draft picks.
Fair.
Adam Shaheen was a draft pick that everybody second considered round, a reach at the time.
High for a tight end.
High for a tight end from where he came from.
Ashland.
He was a project, and you could have maybe gotten him later.
Or was it Damon?
No.
Just a joke.
That. So you get Graham because Shaheen didn't work out. You trade for Quinn. You signed Quinn because Leonard Floyd had to be cut because he didn't work out. And now you're going out to get Nick Foles because Mitch Trubisky's not working out. And so these are three draft mistakes, if you will, that have to be covered and masked by overspending in free agency. In the case of Nick Foles, you feel like you overspent for a draft pick and a fourth rounder. And in other cases, you think that obviously with Graham, you overpaid for him. At the same time, acknowledging that, I think it's also a positive that Ryan Pace does acknowledge that, because a lot of stubborn general managers
are unwilling to
address these mistakes and say, okay, you know what? That's not working out. I'm pulling the plug on this project because I failed. Let's see if this works now. And I give him credit for that.
I give him credit for that, too. I think that's one of the hardest things to do in sports is to admit your error. A lot of people don't want to do that. But let me ask you this. This might be the single most cynical question I will ever utter on sports radio. If we weren't in the times we are, if people weren't kind of, obsessed with other things or concerned about other things, if they were watching more closely, if he had to stand in front of a podium, would he have a day like he had yesterday? That's one of the all-time bad days for a general manager, because that's when they officially release Leonard Floyd, who, by the way, signed with the Rams for $10 million for 1 year. And that's the day that they effectively replaced Mitchell Trubisky. So two of your trade-up players in the first round, you replace them on a day when, you know, the sporting world is quiet.
Well,
and there's not a lot of eyes on you and ears on you, and you don't have to get in front of a crowd and explain it.
You kind of answered your own question, but when you started it by saying that was one of the more cynical questions
I said it's the most.
Because it is the most cynical way to look at it, and it's a negative way to look at it.
Yeah.
Because I think that you turn it around – and I could just sit here as easily and say, you know, this is a great day to be a Bears fan because we are going out and getting a quarterback who has a Super Bowl pedigree. We're getting a quarterback that is going to make Mitch Trubisky better by bringing the best out of him in competition. And if that doesn't happen, it's because that Nick Foles is playing at the level that we've seen him play. And I think you could spin it that way. And I think the fact that things are the way they are and we're going through this difficult period in Chicago and throughout the country, so we're not really focused on press conferences and explanations. It deprived Ryan Pace the chance to kind of frame this in the way where people could get behind it more than maybe they are now. So I would look at it that way.
And I know
why you're doing it. I know why you'd ask that.
Yeah, I'm not trying to.
But that's just my answer.
I like that answer. I'm not trying to indict the guy. But, I mean, and we have 1,000 people that are jumping in with comments about Kevin White. Yeah, I mean, we know what the draft record is. Kevin went through the list earlier. We read the names. And really, it just hasn't been up to snuff. There's no way around that.
No doubt about it.
But your best draft pick might have been the guy that's now down in Miami, two teams removed, right? Your best draft pick, is it Eddie Jackson? Dustin had a harsh comment about him earlier in the program.
That's your best one.
You know, is your best draft pick the guy that's playing safety for the Packers? I mean, I don't know. I don't know how you pick it apart and how you want to evaluate it.
Well,
I was never an Adrian Amos guy.
We're talk radio hosts. Fans are fans. They're going to scrutinize. They're going to analyze, and they're entitled to all the cynicism that they have about Ryan Pace. But if you're Ryan Pace, you're a football guy. You have a season that you have to worry about. You have a roster that you want to build, and you're not concerned with that kind of stuff, legacy, jeopardy of your job. You're worried about finding an offensive lineman. You're worried about finding a defensive back. You're worried about the things that are going to make you better in 2020, so this conversation seems silly a year from now, right? Because that is the way that you look at it. Everything is about the next season, the next game, the next challenge, and all that's that he can worry about now is not what people are saying about him, but how he can affect you know, make them better in 2020.
We have a texter, fleeced on every trade, horrible at drafting. Sounds like a GM that should be fired. And I mean, I'm not, you know, this is what happens when you hire a guy learning on the job. Maybe they feel like this is part of the learning process, that you have to go through these bumps and understand what you can't get done. And he's a young guy. And maybe they think moving forward that he will improve on all
this. Well, and that's why I don't think that he deserves a ton of credit for admitting his mistakes and trying to rectify those. He's just trying to save himself. He realizes that this is probably a make or break season. I don't think he should get credit for.
He gets credit for putting together a defense. Now, take a look at the defense, right? You've got Eddie Jackson and you've got Eddie Goldman and maybe Roquan, right? Hopefully Roquan. Those are the three young players on that defense. The rest of that defense is aging before his eyes. And I include, how old's Kyle Fuller? He's got to be 28 years old by now, right? He's been here a while. And I'm not saying he's 28. When's his birthday?
He's the same age as Khalil Mack, I believe.
Okay.
He just turned 28 last month.
Okay. So, I mean, that's good. That's fine. You got a couple years left there, right? A few years. I'm just saying you know, in about, guys, like another year, 2 years, you're going to have to replace that defense. Like, that's why they're in win now, not because they're trying to save the general manager. I think they're in win now because the team's in win now in terms of the age of the defense. The best players on that defense are all, you know, pushing 30 or over it. 312-644-6767. We're going to bring in Howard Eskin. He always likes to insult the city that he talks to on the radio, and he'll come in and he'll laugh at us about being excited about David Foles, or he will chide us in some fashion. That's a guarantee. He is Mr. Philadelphia. We'll talk to him next. Mully and Haw on The Score.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
And they're going to snap it, and it's Trey Burton who throws, caught, Foles, touchdown.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score, and we are pleased to welcome in Howard Eskin, WIP Philly, Eagles Radio, and of course Fox 29 TV in Philly. He joins us on the Alpamonte Ford Hotline, Alpamonte Ford in Melrose Park. Howard, good morning. How are you?
Morning, Howard.
I've never had a bad day in my life. Although these days are trying and testing because of what the real world is. And obviously, we all are concerned about that. But by the way, was the sky falling when you guys came into work today?
You know, it wasn't falling, but it was it's like very foggy right now.
Why is that, Howard? Why do you say that?
Yeah.
Well, because everybody, from what I understand, the fans, and of course, they know it all. wanted Cam Newton rather than the quarterback he just got.
No.
So I didn't know if the sky was falling.
No.
Okay.
You know what the fans wanted more than anything, Howard, was just kind of acknowledgement that Mitchell Trubisky's not getting it done. And if nothing else, they certainly got that. They got the guy who his last win was at Soldier Field against the Bears in the playoffs. So if you can't beat him, join him. They get him out of Jacksonville. Tell us about him. Tell us how good this pick is and why the Bears will win the Super Bowl this year. Go ahead. Tell
us. Well, I'm going to tell you why he was the right guy for the Bears. He's in a system, and when you bring a quarterback in, you want to bring him into a system that he doesn't have to take a year to kind of try to figure out. He's worked with Matt Nagy in Kansas City. Matt Nagy was actually here in Philadelphia with the Eagles when Nick was here the first time, too. So he's familiar, John DeFilippo, he's familiar with. So with all that said, he's a good quarterback. You know, when you talk about great, not everybody can't be great, but he's a very good quarterback. He's in a system now which he's comfortable with and will understand. And I was just so impressed. I remember, and the thing that I will never get out of my mind, okay, and we heard about the play in the Super Bowl. For 2 years, he was the quarterback who threw the last touchdown pass, because when Tom Brady and Jared Goff didn't throw a touchdown pass the following year, Nick Foles was the quarterback who threw the last touchdown pass in the Super Bowl for 2 years. But the thing that I remember about in the Super Bowl, he's relaxed, he's comfortable, he understands, he doesn't let things rattle him. I'm on the sidelines as a sideline reporter for our broadcast, and I always keep an eye on the quarterbacks. And that's what I noticed more than anything else. He didn't get crazy. He wasn't overly nervous. He was just comfortable. And that's what he is. And I think he's a very good quarterback. I think he's the starter for the Bears. Mitchell Trubisky's a stiff. They made a mistake. And they're trying to clean it up, and you can't clean it up with just having a great quarterback fall out of the sky. But what you got is a good quarterback, and I don't know that Mitchell Trubisky is a good quarterback. But I just like the way he settles in. I like him in an offense, and Matt Nagy will have him in an offense that he's comfortable with. And I think just Nick is a wonderful, terrific guy around teammates. All of that said, and the teammates will have confidence in him, which they did here. Remember, the Eagles lost Wentz when he came in and did what he did. He had one of the greatest Super Bowl games I've ever seen for a quarterback. Now, I don't know that he could do that all the time, and he's going to have some bad games as quarterbacks do. But he's a good quarterback in the right system. And he will be good, I think, for the Bears.
I think so, too, Howard. And I think a lot of Chicago actually would agree with you about Trubisky, because there's a lot of Mitch fatigue around. But I think when you look at Nick Foles, his success has always come in the West Coast offense or variations of that with coaches that he trusts. And maybe that will be the case in Chicago with Nagy and DeFilippo and Bill Lazor. But what the heck happened in Jacksonville? Why and how much should that concern Bears fans looking at it, because we are talking about the Super Bowl, we're talking about the fit, and we're almost like looking past what happened last year.
You know, I can't tell you what happened there, but that's not Nick Foles. Now, he is going to have bad games, and maybe there was an impatient bit. And again, there are other quarterbacks who are good quarterbacks that are going to have bad games. I don't know that Minshew, just everybody got all carried away, and we'll see if he can do it the second time around. People always love the backup quarterback until he's the starter. So we'll see what happens there. I'm not quite sure what happened, but I know Nick Foles is better than that. Maybe there wasn't enough time. I don't know all the players that were around him. And it is Jacksonville. I mean, let's face it. It is Jacksonville. I just think there could have been multiple reasons, but he's not that kind of quarterback. I just don't know Nick Foles is that kind of quarterback. And I think in the situation the Bears are in, I just think he'll be better. Obviously, I know he'll be better than he was in Jacksonville. I can't give you all the reasons, but Nick's had an interesting, it's amazing. He has had an interesting career. Good. I was at the game in Oakland where he threw 7 touchdown passes in a game against the Raiders. And I mean, I'm saying, my God, it's unbelievable. And then he's gone before he comes back. He was the second quarterback when he was drafted. They liked Russell Wilson, and they thought Wilson would last until the third round. He didn't. And the second quarterback they liked was Nick Foles in that draft. And he was comfortable with Doug Peterson because he worked with Doug in Kansas City. And he's worked with Matt Nagy in Kansas City. So I think you guys and the people of Chicago will be okay with this. They just got to relax, wait for it to happen. And I know he's better than Mitchell Trubisky. I mean, there's no doubt in my mind he's better than Mitchell Trubisky.
What kind of gravitas does he have in the locker room, and will it help him? You know, it's different here because he comes in as a Super Bowl winner and a Super Bowl MVP.
He's great in the locker room, and you need a quarterback. You know, there's probably a lot of nice guys who aren't very good, but he really creates a great bond, and I saw that here in Philadelphia when he came in when Carson Wentz got hurt. The players rallied around him. He's that kind of guy. He's very likable. He'll listen to his teammates. He won't get upset. I hate a quarterback that has bad body language. You know, there's a receiver that runs the wrong pattern, and the quarterback starts pointing in front of everybody, and you can tell he's not happy, and he lets it show. Nick Foles will not be that guy, and the players on the offense and on that team, any team, and I know in Philadelphia, that's probably one of the reasons that they respected him. He will get respect in that locker room, guaranteed. Now, there can't be a division, and Trubisky can't be upset that somebody's coming in trying to get his job, because that's not good, and that's not Nick's fault. So I think he will bond very well with his teammates.
Nick Foles, Trey Burton, the Bears sure do like their ex-Eagles. Jason Peters have anything left in the tank?
No, I think he does, but he won't have it for 16 games. Last year he only missed – he actually had a good year, but I think he wanted too much money. He wanted the contract that he had. You can't get that at 38 years old. But I like Trey Burton. All you need now, Corey Clement's available. All you need
is
now is Corey Clement.
Yeah. And you can recreate that Philly special.
It can't. Well, yeah, but it's got to be called the Philly special, because everybody that starts to call it different names. I saw a college team use it, and they gave it that name. No. And because it was a play running the Super Bowl, it's kind of, I think back to that play. I'll give you a little background, too, because they know Belichick cheats. So the Eagles did not practice that the week of the Super Bowl. They practiced it for the Minnesota game, which was the conference championship game, before, because they could practice at home. But they didn't practice that because they were afraid that Belichick would have somebody tell him, somebody there that was a spy or somebody was taping it. So they ran the play in a walkthrough in the ballroom in the hotel when they had the walkthrough at the end of the week. They did not practice that play. And by the way, when they did, it wasn't successful in practice when they practiced it before the Minnesota game. But I'm standing there on the sidelines, and our play-by-play guy, Merrill Reese, who people, I'm sure, hear on NFL films all the time, he's telling Mike Quick, who's the color guy, "Mike, I think they got to kick the field goal." So I call, I go up into the booth, and I go on, and I said, "Merrill, they're not kicking a field goal. I don't know what the play is, but they're not kicking a field goal." And it was kind of interesting to see the respect that the coach had. Remember, Nick was the one that came over and suggested the play because they were in the right situation for that play and the down and distance. And he suggested it. And the coach had so much confidence in him and the other players involved in the play. He said, "Yeah, let's do it." And that's, he gets that respect from the head coach, and he's going to have that respect from the players. But you got to get Corey Clement there. He's available now, so now you can run the play again. Because Trey Burton's terrific. Trey was the backup quarterback, I think, at one point for the Eagles. Hmm. Trey's a good guy, and I like him as a person and as a player.
He might be available soon. We'll see.
We'll see.
All right, Howard. Thank you, buddy. Thanks for everything.
Good stuff.
Hey, tell the people in Chicago, Cam Newton wouldn't have been the right guy. Yeah. And the sky is not falling, and they'll be fine with Nick Foles. They'll be fine.
All right, buddy. Howard Eskin. He, of course, Mr. Philadelphia Eagles. Yeah, I don't think. Do you get a sense that everybody was falling in love with
I think yesterday when that report came out that out of Carolina, the Bears were talking trade with the Panthers, there was some excitement from some people.
What about the Bridgewater
social media
news? Well, I mean, we've had, you know, now at least we have resolution. There was the Bridgewater stuff, and then there was Cam Newton.
Cam Newton
and
was too big of a risk.
There was Andy Dalton all
health-wise,
along. Yes.
You know, Dalton very comparable to Foles, but I think Teddy Bridgewater picked the Panthers over the Bears. You can't do much about that.
All right, we're going to talk to Dan Pompey next. Dan is not only our guy, he wrote the book with Doug Peterson, so I'm sure he's got some insight into Nick Foles as well. So we'll talk to Dan next. Mullion Hall on the Score.
Dan Pompey. Dan Pompey with Mullion Hall on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Mullion Hall, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Dan Pompey's name is writ in the Hall of Fame, and he joins us on the Alpamonte Ford Hotline. Alpamonte Ford in Melrose Park. Good morning, Dan. How are you?
Morning, Dan.
I'm great, guys. Good to speak with another human being, even if it's not face-to-face, right?
Well, I told you, social distancing doesn't mean you don't return my phone call. I don't know why you got that idea.
I'm just looking for an excuse that I can get.
The name of the book, Fearless, How an Underdog Becomes a Champion. You wrote a book with Doug Peterson after the Super Bowl. Tell us about his feelings for his quarterback. Tell us a little bit about what he had to say to you about Nick Foles.
Yeah, Doug loved Nick Foles. You know, he was one of his champions going back to the draft process. Matter of fact, he was the only person who visited him and worked him out from the entire NFL.
Wow.
And the Eagles at the time were hoping to draft Russell Wilson, but, you know, Foles was on their radar, and he really liked him. He went to visit him. Foles didn't have the best senior season, so his draft stock was kind of down a little bit. But I remember him talking about how he went to visit him. They went to his high school, and he saw all these pictures on the wall of him playing basketball and basketball awards. And I guess Foles could have played basketball in college. He was that good. And, you know, people don't think of him as an athletic quarterback, but he is. And that was kind of one of the revelations through the Super Bowl run with the Eagles, too, that, you know, initially Doug thought, well, he couldn't really do a lot of the RPO things the way that Carson could. But as they kind of went on in the course of the playoffs, late in the season and the playoffs building up to the Super Bowl, they discovered Foles was pretty good at that stuff. He's a little bit older now, but I think some of that still will apply, and I think you know, that will give the Bears some flexibility to use him in some ways that they have been using Mitch Trubisky. Certainly, they probably used him more that way in 2018 and 19. But if he does end up getting on the field for the Bears, I think he's got that capability.
And that Super Bowl season, Dan, John DeFilippo was the quarterback's coach of Foles in Philadelphia, and his relationship with Matt Nagy goes back to his first stint in Philadelphia, and with Bill Lazor the same way. Those relationships matter. And I guess, do they matter enough in your mind because of the compressed NFL schedule? We've been talking about how that gives Foles an advantage when he comes to Halas Hall. Whenever it is, there will be that comfort level and that it'll ease the adjustment and maybe hasten the process. You know, could that make him a potential day one starter?
Well, I think he, in terms of knowing the offense and being comfortable, you know, that's not going to be an issue. I think he'll be able to do that from that standpoint. I think the other thing is there's a personal comfort level with him. Foles is one of these guys that whoever he has worked with loves him. And, you know, they all, a number of times if you look at his career, people who have been with him tried to get him back with them at a later point in his career. A little like Josh McCown in that regard, you know, he leaves a trail of smiles wherever he goes. And I think he's a guy who lifts the room that he's in, lifts the team, and people love to have him as a mentor for a younger quarterback. So that's a factor, too. But I think, you know, that's not the only reason that you should be interested in a guy like that. Certainly you have to hope that he can throw touchdown passes and make your offense better. And I think the Bears obviously are optimistic that he can do that.
Dan, you said if he gets on the field, you know, we've been operating under the assumption that he will have a shot at the job. They gave him opt-outs in each of the next 2 years. Obviously, it's kind of a one-year deal. It's a lot of money. He's guaranteed $21 million. Do you believe that he opens the season as a backup? Or do you believe he's brought here to play? How will it work out in your mind?
Yeah, it's a fascinating question. I heard you guys talking about it earlier. David saying that he thinks that he's going to be the starter on day one because of money. And, I mean, I don't know the answer. I don't want to pretend that I know the answer, but my feeling is still that Mitch Trubisky is in position to be the starter on opening day. And I think the reason I think that is because the Bears are still sold on what they did to get Trubisky, right? I think if you look at everything they have invested in Mitch Trubisky, it's still way more than they have invested in Nick Foles. And they have reason to want Mitch Trubisky to succeed and be their starter. And, you know, if they really wanted to replace Mitch Trubisky, they would have gone about this in a different way. They could have either cut him or they could have signed Teddy Bridgewater to a, you know, bigger contract and a long-term deal. Or, you know, there are other things they could have done if they really were intent on making someone else the starter this year. All that being said, I think, you know, there is undoubtedly going to be competition in training camp and preseason. And you know, if Mitch goes out and performs the way he did last year in training camp and preseason, then maybe he's going to get beat out. Of course, they kept saying that he was performing well in preseason
right.
in training camp. And everyone else said, what are you talking about? It doesn't look that way, Doug. So, you know, we'll see where it goes. But again, that's why I think Mitch is in the catbird seat here in this competition.
Okay, maybe. And I can see why you would say that, and I certainly believe that they will give him every opportunity, I think, to keep the job because it is still his. But we both need to do this, a research project for all of us. How many examples of guys making $21 million per year in the NFL are they backups? Because this is what the Bears have guaranteed Nick Foles. And if they're going to guarantee Nick Foles $21 million to be a backup, then you might question this move a little bit more than you do. Maybe it brings out the best in Mitch, but Dan, that's why I think that it'd be unusual to have somebody making that kind of money with that level of a commitment to be somebody who is just providing quality depth. That's expensive insurance.
Yeah, fair point. And it would be probably, if not unprecedented, very unusual to do something like that. But, you know, I'm a guy, too, who always says follow the money. But again, I think there's more than money here. There's resources, right? And I think if you look at all the resources that have been put into Mitch Trubisky, the trade up, the number of draft picks, even, you know, the very hiring of Matt Nagy and the changing of the offensive coaches and everything they've done to try to make him successful. I think the investment actually is greater in Mitch Trubisky still than it is in Nick Foles if you look at things besides money.
How have the Bears done thus far in free agency, Dan? What's your takeaway from what you've seen thus far?
Well, I think, you know, some good, some bad, but I think mostly good. I mean, I think they're a better team, certainly, than they were last season. I think the acquisition of Foles is big. Although I said I believe that Mitch will probably be the starter on opening day, I also believe that this guy is going to get on the field at some point and make an impact on this team. and maybe he's the starter at the end of the season when the games really count. We'll see where that all goes. But I think Robert Quinn was a very good addition. It gives them something they didn't have. It makes Khalil Mack a defensive MVP candidate again, and gives their defense some juice that I think was missing at times last year. Helps them in the secondary where they still have some questions and some holes. I think the Graham signing was a little questionable. I think it was interesting what they did in choosing Trevathan over Kwiatkowski. They could have had either one for about the same money, and they chose the older guy who's had some durability issues, but who also, is still a very good player, and also I think a guy who's bringing intangibles to the team in terms of leadership, and a guy that the young guys all look up to. So some interesting decisions all around, but I think they're in a better position than they were prior to free agency.
Dan, Leonard Floyd signs a one-year deal with the Rams. I think he can make up to what he was going to make with the Bears, around $13 million, maybe 10 guaranteed. How do you see him fitting in L.A., and who has more sacks in 2020, Robert Quinn or Leonard Floyd?
Floyd, I looked this up. I think Quinn had more sacks last season than Floyd had in the last three.
Yes.
So that's a no-brainer to me. I think it's going to be Quinn. And, Floyd, he's not a big sack guy. He's not a finisher. I don't know how that's going to change all of a sudden. I don't think it's going to change. I wouldn't expect that the Rams think it's going to change. It was a good move to move on from him, because if you have a player playing that outside linebacker position in the defense that Chuck Pagano is operating, you want that guy to have sacks and to create pressures and make the quarterback uneasy. And I don't think Floyd did that often enough, especially given that he had Khalil Mack on the other side of him. So I think that was a very good move and an encouraging move, despite the fact that we kept hearing again how well Floyd had played and how much they loved him.
Dan, just curious, as long as we have you, what's going on with Bill O'Brien? Michael Irvin reported yesterday that DeAndre Hopkins told him that O'Brien brought up Aaron Hernandez in the pre-trade meeting that they had, and that apparently really upset Hopkins. Hopkins came out and downplayed what he said to Michael Irvin. But Bill O'Brien making a deal like that, is people keep saying they traded a great receiver for a ham sandwich. We haven't seen that bad a football decision since that guy was coaching in the playoffs. What is he just got Bob McNair's ear, or Bob McNair's son doesn't know how to fire him? What's going on there?
Yeah, I think the trade was pretty stunning.
Yeah.
And obviously it was about something more than what's on the field, because there's no way you could say they got equitable value for DeAndre Hopkins in getting David Johnson and a draft pick back in return. DeAndre Hopkins, one of the very best receivers in the league, and it's hard to replace a guy like that. And the other thing, too, you've got this brilliant young quarterback who you want to give every opportunity to have him develop and succeed and grow and flourish, and then you take away this great receiver from him. I mean, I don't think it made any sense to anybody other than Bill O'Brien. So I think what the trade really does is put him in the crosshairs, and if he wasn't already.
Right.
But he just got a promotion. The amazing thing is he just got a promotion in January to general manager. And so he got more power, which really this has been building for a couple of years since, the Rick Smith situation, when Smith decided to step down because of his wife's illness. And it's been a consolidation of power with Bill O'Brien ever since. And, in a lot of cases, in my opinion, it's not always healthy when the head coach has all the power. I think, oftentimes it's kind of like government. You're always best with checks and balances. And I don't know if there's enough checks and balances in that organization right now.
The government or the...
Thank you, Dan.
Thanks, Dan.
You're all the right, best. Dad. All right, good buddy. Stuff. We'll talk to you soon. That is Dan Pompey. Always a joy to talk to him. And
That Bill O'Brien thing's a mess.
We're going to bring Ross Tucker in next, and we'll talk to him. We'll talk to him about this move with the Bears, and you know, maybe we can run it by him, too. I don't. We have Peoria Matt checking, and he says, heads up to the McNair family. Don't be calling Ernie Accorsi to get any help. Wow. It's Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 to the score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.